is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hello, this is Brad Stamps, head boys basketball coach at Fayetteville High School, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram. And be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content.
Are you tired of overpaying for your video and analytics platform? Well, it's time to check out QuickCut.com, a platform built by coaches for coaches. QuickCut is undeniably more affordable. It's all cloud-based and comes packed with features to help high schools and youth programs store, share, and analyze game film. Make the switch, get double the storage, and save your program up to 50% on the fastest growing video editing system in the country. For more information or to request a free trial, visit quickcut.com/basketball. That's QWIKCUT.com.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are jumping on to talk some NBA basketball. Lots of things going on. We have tons of injuries and COVID-related issues going around in the league right now. Jay, we got some great Cavs play over the last couple of days since the return of Evan Mobley. And we've got the superiority, it seems, of the East over the West, which we'll talk a little bit about as we go through. Are you starting me out with a quiz today?
Yeah, so what I was going to say is, Mike, I've got two names. I just got two. But the injuries may allow for us to have some more obscure names.
That's
starting.
True.
So I might have some more names soon. And these are not obscure names, Mike. These are two players, and I know you know. It's just if you know what team they're on currently is going to be the test.
All right, well, let's see.
The first one, Tony Snell.
Tony Snell.
He started two games for this team.
Tony Snell. Is he currently on the Chicago Bulls?
No, you're in the wrong conference.
Tony Snell. Man, where is Tony Snell?
He was on the Bulls at one point.
I know he was on the Bulls. He's probably been on like seven different teams. Tony Snell. Let's see where Tony is. Is he in Portland?
He is in Portland, Mike.
All right. See, what I should do is before I answer, I should look at the standings because – as I look at all the teams, and I kind of can go through and put name with face, but all right, give me the second one.
Okay, so you said he's played with seven teams, Mike?
I said several.
I said seven. He's played with five.
I said several.
He's basically lived in the central here. He played with Milwaukee, Chicago, and Detroit.
Okay.
And he also played with Atlanta and Portland.
All right,
okay. Other guy, Nasir Little.
Oh, that's an easy one. He's also with Portland.
Oh yeah, I was trying to trick you there.
Maybe that's an easy one. Nasir Little's a North Carolina guy, so that helps me to understand and know where he is.
Yeah.
Not that I could name one guy in Carolina's roster this year, but generally speaking, if you're a Tar Heel, I probably have a better chance of knowing where you might be.
All right. Well, I was hoping I was going to trick you with that, like give you two from the same team, but apparently that didn't work, Mike.
Well, I got one and a half. I got one and a half, right?
Okay. That's true.
What was my over-under?
I was thinking you were going to get one of them.
Okay.
I thought you were going to get one. So.
So it was a push.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. All right. So we're going to start because we have to start with the Cavs, Mike. And, you know, we had the pleasure of sitting and watching a high school basketball game together. The Strongsville Mustangs versus the Olmsted Falls Bulldogs. Of course, Strongsville being my alma mater, Olmsted Falls being where I work. Your son plays for Strongsville. But while we were sitting there, I may or may not have been streaming the Cavs game because Evan Mobley returned. And his literally first play of the game, blocking a shot, just creating havoc. They beat Orlando, probably not as well as I would have thought, and didn't give me much hope. And then we just absolutely yesterday, everyone just played phenomenally. Everything came together. I turned it on about – I watched the whole thing. I know you said you turned it on – late second quarter, Mike?
Yeah, I watched bits and pieces of the game from midway through the second quarter, and then I didn't catch every single second because I was doing some other things, but I watched bits and pieces of it. They looked really, really good. And I think what we're seeing is what we talked about earlier in the season, that this team, when healthy with all their parts, they're looking pretty good. And I think that what they have, it's weird. It's kind of unorthodox with Jared Allen and Markkanen and Mobley. But for whatever reason, it seems like that clicks. And I guess the reason is that all three of those guys are playing at a really high level. Jared Allen's playing better than he ever has. I mean, if he continues to do what he's doing right now, he's got to be, I would think, under consideration to make the All-Star team, depending upon how things
break out. Well, it's in Cleveland, so there's going to be a Cavs on the All-Star team, Mike.
He's averaging 16 and 11. I'd say he's got a decent chance.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think I don't think Mobley has any chance. Does Garland have a chance? Does Garland have a chance, or no?
I think the backcourt probably is just tougher than the front court. I mean, we'd have to go through
Harden. There's just too many people.
You'd have to go a pretty. It would be tough. Although, you look at what Garland's doing. He's averaging almost 19 a game. The thing that I really love about it is he's averaging more than 7 assists per game. When you think back to his rookie year,
2 assists.
He looked very similar to the way Colin Sexton has continued to look throughout his entire career, where it just didn't seem like he was a playmaker. I know his reputation, I'm talking about Garland, coming out of high school and then through his 5 games that he played at Vanderbilt, was that he did have that playmaking gene. I mean, he was known for his scoring and being able to shoot off the dribble, but people felt like he had that ability to pass the ball. But that first year here in Cleveland, we just did not see that at all. If you would have told me that season there would ever be a time when Darius Garland would be averaging 7 assists per game, I would have told you were crazy. So he's been really, really good. And I just think that the guard position is probably too deep for him to be the guy. I think if you're looking at, okay, centers in the Eastern Conference, obviously if Embiid plays enough games, he's going to be your center. And then after that, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that's having a better season that has had more of an impact on their team than what Jared Allen's been able to do. He's been tremendous. And you think about that contract, right?
Yep.
I mean, most people, I think, around the league probably thought that was an overpay. And already Jared Allen is producing, I think, more than anybody could have reasonably hoped. And he's still young. I don't know. How old is Jared Allen? 24, maybe?
I'm going to look it up right now.
Mike,
while you're looking it up, let me tell you this.
23. Much. He's 23 years old.
Yeah,
averaging a 16 and 11. And it seems like he's only going to continue to get better. And if that's the case, and you compare him with Mobley, and you got Markkanen for the next 3 years, and if he continues to progress, and at least if he can knock down shots and do what he's been able to do to this point, the Cavs have a really, really nice nucleus. They really do.
Yeah. So, Mike, let me tell you this. The Cavs, the strength of the schedule remaining, I know we're early to be doing this.
Well, we're number one right now in strength of schedule in terms of the difficulty that we've played so far.
It doesn't get any easier for the next three weeks, that's for sure.
We
have the second easiest schedule the rest of the way, according to the strength of schedule. I just looked it up.
I'm not surprised.
There's a website called the Tankathon. This is a good website. But the second easiest schedule the rest of the way, and we've had the hardest schedule, and we're over 500. So that's just, you know, that's just telling you, like, I think they're for real, Mike. Like, they're going to be a legit, they're in this, you know, they're over under, Mike. If we would have bet, you know, my dad sent me a text. This is the text I got from my dad tonight. And my dad does not follow the NBA as, like, much. He says, how much money could we have made if we bet after a quarter of the season the Cavs would have a better record than the Lakers? And I responded, a lot of money. Because
yes, a lot of money.
No one would have thought that. So I like what I've seen. I know last week we said they were going to win the Orlando game and they were going to win another one. Obviously, they won the Dallas game. That's good news. Their schedule over the next few days, next week, not getting any easier. However, you know, they have a chance. So should we go through the schedule, Mike?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, no. Hold on.
You lost the schedule?
Yeah, hold on.
I have it.
You got it? Okay, you lead this. You lead this. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
Okay, so we are Wednesday, December 1st at Miami.
That's a loss.
That's a loss.
Miami just got smoked, so they're going to come out playing hard.
Friday, December 3rd at Washington. I think they win that one.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, Washington is still ahead of the Cavaliers in the standings, but they have not been playing as well of late. So I think that the Cavs, especially after the way the Wizards beat them on the Kuzma threes when they were here, I think that Washington's 5-5 in their last 10. I think the Cavs go in and take care of business. I think they win that one.
Okay.
Then your next game is Sunday at home versus Utah.
That's a win.
You think that's a win at home?
Yes.
Okay. I'll give you that. I'm not 100% convinced, but I'll take it. Then Monday, they're at Milwaukee.
That's a loss.
Milwaukee's won 7 in a row. Then we come back home.
But that'll be after our next recording. So those are our 4 games that we play, right?
Correct.
Hey, so you have them going 2-2. Breaking news.
Okay.
The Ohio State Buckeyes just knocked off number one Duke.
Nice. Good job. Congratulations to Chris Holtman and the rest of the Buckeyes.
That Buckeye team decided to play offense and defense tonight.
Well, hopefully Duke wasn't trying to run the ball. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they beat them 71-66.
Nice work, Buckeyes. Congratulations.
That's a big win. Unranked Buckeyes just knocked off number one Duke.
Nice. So, good win.
Awesome. All right. Anyway, sorry. I just wanted to make sure.
So we have them going 2-2. I think if they can go 2-2, I'm trying to look when the schedule lightens up. Really, on December 10th and 11th, they play Minnesota and Sacramento.
Well, Minnesota is not lightening up.
It's still lightening up compared to what they've been playing. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So at some point, there's some easy games. I think what you really see is that being in the Eastern Conference this year, there really isn't a whole lot of games that you're just like, oh, that's a sure win. There's really only two teams, Detroit and Orlando. Everybody else, you're looking at it going, you know, they could beat us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I look at, so you look at the middle of the month here. Like you said, the Minnesota, Sacramento. Then we play Miami again. Then we play Houston. And then Milwaukee again. But then we've got Atlanta. I think we can beat Boston. I think we beat Toronto. I think we can beat New Orleans. We play Atlanta twice this month. I like that. I think we can beat them, right? We play Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, as you've said, the strength of schedule to this point has been the hardest in the league. It's the second easiest after today. So there's obviously more winnable games coming up ahead. And I do think, look, Dallas, no matter what you want to say about them, they're kind of scuffling right now and they haven't looked great, but they're still a team that is in the Western Conference playoffs right now. And they're a team that has arguably one of the best five players in the league, and the Cavs just completely dismantled them. And so I think sometimes it depends on how you look at that schedule and where you think the Cavs slot in terms of, are the Cavs a good team that can beat other good teams? Are they a mediocre team that's going to beat bad teams? Which I know you sent me a text the one night when they beat Orlando, not this most recent game, but the one prior, where you're like, hey, it's nice to just take it. Maybe that was Detroit, where you're like, it's just nice to take care of business against a team that you should beat. And it seems like that's what this team is doing. And to me, there's nothing really that seems unsustainable that this team is doing on a night-to-night basis. I mean, I think Garland is now a good player. Evan Mobley is a good player. Jaren Allen's a good player. Markkanen maybe is the one guy who's kind of been up and down over the course of his career, whether that's through injury or just performance. But I don't think there's any real huge outliers in what they've been doing. I think the defense is real, because when you have those guys on the interior, when you have Jared Allen and you have Evan Mobley patrolling the inside, it just makes it really hard for teams to score. And this team's going to hang around. I think they're going to definitely be in that running for one of those play-in spots. Are they guaranteed that? No. But I do think that they're going to be right there somewhere in that 7-10 range, and they're gonna have a really good shot at making the play-in.
Yeah, I think so. Heck, I'm not ready to say they can be a top six, but I feel like there's a very good chance they're in this for the long haul, and they're right there. The month of January looks nice, Mike. The month of January looks nice. So
fact that they've hung in to this point, I think if I look at the teams that are kind of bunched up around them, and I think about that going forward, I don't think they're as good as Brooklyn, Chicago, Milwaukee, and Miami. I think those four teams are better than the Cavs. But then you look at the Wizards, the Hornets, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Raptors, the Pacers, maybe to some degree the Hawks and the Sixers if you can't count on Embiid, which we know he can't. I think the Cavs are right there in that mix somewhere. Now, I don't know if that puts them, as you said, in the top six. I would be dubious that that's going to happen, but I do think that they're going to be in the conversation for spots 7-10 throughout the entire season. I will be stunned if they fall completely out of the race for the play-in.
Yep. All right. So now we're talking injuries, and that might have a big deal, a big role in the hole where people end up, because the amount of injuries that are piling up, and it's just getting bigger and bigger. Tonight in the game, you know, right now, it's the end of the third quarter of the Phoenix Suns Golden State game, and it's a close game, and we've got Devin Booker goes out with a hamstring injury. We've got Michael Porter Jr.
Let's go one at a time and then kind of talk about those teams. So Phoenix, we weren't planning to talk about a Devin Booker injury when we talked about planning for this episode earlier in the day. But as we saw with James Harden last year, if you have, depending on the severity of your hamstring injury, that can be something that can linger for a long time. Phoenix has played really, really well. Obviously started the season 1-3 and they've won 16 in a row, 17 in a row.
They've won 16 in a row. Golden State has won 7 in a row. You know, it's a big game. It's a big game right here. I mean, they're clearly the two best teams in the NBA right now. And that's kind of crazy. But we're at the point where, like, I feel comfortable saying, like, I know that Golden State's we've talked about it being fool's gold, but we're 20 games in. We're a quarter of the way through the season. Like, I know that they're not going to end up only with 8 losses, but they're on pace for 8 losses right now. So, like,
it feels more real this week than it did last week.
And by the way, Klay Thompson's going to be playing G League basketball this weekend, and that probably means he's back by Christmas. So, good luck. And the fact that what's his name? Who's going to go to the bench? Who's been playing really well for them? Poole.
Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole is going to be going to the bench, and he's been lighting it up. So, like, that's crazy talk. I'm more of a believer
than I was a week ago. And I think basically from what I've seen and what I've watched, I think there's two big factors in what's happening. Obviously, you have Steph just continuing to be all world.
He's not played good tonight, by the way.
No, I know he was 3 of 14 at the half. I don't know where he's at now, but. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Steph being as good as Steph has been, I think, is a huge factor. And then the other piece of it that you have is Draymond is back to being a lethal weapon on the defensive end of the floor. And I think the combination of those two guys on either end of the floor just kind of put everything back into place. Wiggins has obviously been good. Poole's been very, very good. And they're just back to playing the way that they played before. And as we've said numerous times, and it's no surprise to anybody, what Steph is able to do, not only with his actual scoring and shooting, but the fact that he's such a threat with the ball, without the ball, that he just makes everything easier for everybody else. And as long as he continues to stay healthy, it's hard to foresee that they're going to fall. I mean, they're not going to, as you said, they're not going to go win 18 out of the next 20 games for the rest of the season, but they're going to continue to be right there at the top of the Western Conference, it seems. And I didn't see this coming, but it looks like it's here.
Yeah.
And as far as Phoenix goes, go ahead. You had something to say about Golden State?
I just think they've looked good. They've looked better than anyone could have imagined. And they have their theoretical second best player hasn't played. So
right.
You're not going to let me tell you, I don't want to be their opponents. So as far as Phoenix, go ahead, Mike.
I mean, Phoenix, it's interesting because when I look at Phoenix, I still don't necessarily think of them as a prohibitive favorite to make it to the finals or to win the title, which at this point, it feels like we should based on what they did last year. And then based on the fact that you have whatever they are, 17-3 start, and they've been really, really good. They've been good at clutch in clutch moments. Chris Paul teams seemingly are always good in the clutch because he just runs everything through him. He's able to get that shot at the elbow, which you sent me a video of his double reverse pivot move to hit a jump shot. But he's just very, very good in the mid-range and clutch situations. And Booker's sort of the same way, maybe to a lesser degree. And there's something about Phoenix that just makes you a little bit leery that, hey, can they really get through? They had a break, obviously, last year, just in the way that the teams fell where, okay, you get the Lakers and Anthony Davis goes out during the series. You get the Nuggets in the next round and no Jamal Murray. And then you get in the Western Conference Finals, you get the Clippers and Kawhi goes down. So I think people still maybe doubt Phoenix as a result of sort of the easy path they had last year. But, man, they've been really, really, really good. And them and Golden State, obviously the two best records in the league going at it tonight. Phoenix is up 2 as we speak right now. And those two teams, from a regular season standpoint, it's hard to imagine either of those teams dipping out of the top 3 in the Western Conference. I think Utah stays in there with those two teams, probably the way things stand right now. I'd say those three teams probably are likely to stay and be the top 3 teams when all said and done out in the Western Conference.
Yep. Yep. Very, very well could be. All right. Other injuries. We'll talk Atlanta Hawks. We got Bogdan Bogdanovic out at least 2 weeks and Cam Reddish sidelined for a to be determined period of time with a left wrist sprain. The old TBD, that doesn't sound good.
No, you never want TBD. That is not anything good. Atlanta's been playing better as of late. They won 7 of the last 10. And I think that Atlanta was almost in a situation where they had too many guys fighting for playing time. And maybe some of these injuries make it a little bit easier to figure out rotations and whatever. Trae Young's been down a little bit this year. I know we've heard it said and can watch games just to see that he's not getting to the line nearly as much as he was in the past. And so maybe these rule changes have affected him. John Collins has continued to get better. He's been a guy who, if you think about sort of the arc of his career and what he's been able to do, he's become much more of a doing little things that can help you to win type of guy. More playmaking from him, not just an athletic scoring, dunking guy, but a guy who has more nuance to his game than when he first came into the league. That's been something that I think has been a positive development for the Hawks. I still think Atlanta's a team that they're at number 10 in the East right now. I don't think they end up there. I think eventually they probably climb their way into the top six. I'd be surprised if they don't. But those two injuries are obviously two guys that when you look and think about where you want them in the playoffs, particularly Bogdanovich, I'm still not sure that anybody around the league knows exactly what Cam Reddish is or isn't. He may be a guy who, at this point, as a player who's still young in the league, maybe thinks he should have a bigger role than probably what his ideal role actually is. So it'll be interesting to see how Atlanta ends up parsing out those minutes, especially with DeAndre Hunter at some point going to return. You have Herter. There's just a lot of guys for that same sort of position with Atlanta when they're all healthy. But obviously when you have a couple guys out, it sort of simplifies who plays and who doesn't. And Trae Young, I think, will eventually get it figured out. He was too good in the playoffs last year to be a guy that's going to have any kind of big drop-off. So I expect the Hawks to climb back into the top six at some point.
Yeah. Okay. So then I'm just going to go team by team here, Mike, because I found ESPN has a nice list of all the players that are injured.
Sure, sounds good. Let's do it.
So Celtics, Jalen Brown's just day-to-day. We're not going to spend time with that. The Nets, Joe Harris, friend of the pod's son, Joe Harris.
So I can give you a direct update.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I sent Joe Harris Sr. a text today, actually, and here's what he said. Doc said it went great, took out the loose pieces and shaved some pieces off. He's just now getting home. He's going to be in a boot and crutches just for the week. Out 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
That's what he said, yeah. The diagnosis that I saw on ESPN said 4 to 8. So Joe Harris Sr. said out 6 weeks. Obviously, all right. Obviously that hurts Brooklyn. I think what's interesting about Brooklyn is there's a lot of
questions,
angst around the Nets, and there's a lot of things that have gone seemingly wrong, including the Joe Harris injury and Blake Griffin apparently falling off a cliff in terms of being a productive NBA player. And obviously we have the whole Kyrie vaccine thing. You have James Harden being diminished for whatever reason, whether that's his conditioning, whether it's the inability to continue to
bait
officials for fouls. But he still hasn't. I mean, he's been nowhere near what he was at his peak, I guess is the point there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yet all that being said, Brooklyn is still 15-6, and they're sitting there with the third best record in the league, and they have the best record in the Eastern Conference. So even though there are definitely things that you have to be concerned about, I think it speaks to just how good Durant has been. I mean, he's been phenomenal, and you just watch the guy shoot, and I've said it numerous times, you never think he's going to miss. And as long as he's healthy, any team that beats them is going to have to earn it, because Durant's going to get his without question, and they got enough ancillary pieces around him to be able to survive some difficulties in other areas. So I think Brooklyn, despite all the challenges that they have, there's maybe a little bit too much worry about them, because they kind of continue to just sort of hum along. And even though everybody's worried, they're still, like I said, number one in the Eastern Conference at this point.
Yeah. All right. We don't need to talk about either of these Hornets players. No one cares. Patrick Williams out, missed at least 4 to 6 months. So he's done for the season.
Hasn't hurt the Bulls.
Sorry. That was from October. This is just every injury.
Right. But I'm saying that hasn't hurt the Bulls. Yeah. Surprisingly, I think that that's a case where
Patrick Williams was going to get a lot of minutes, but maybe he wasn't quite ready for the amount of minutes that he was going to be playing. And now those minutes are getting soaked up by better players. Caruso's probably getting more minutes than he would have if Patrick Williams had been healthy. So in a weird way, that injury may have allowed the Bulls to come together maybe a little bit sooner. Yeah. Obviously, you don't want your promising young player to be out injured, but it sort of solidified what they're doing.
Denver, that's a big one. Michael Porter Jr. out for the season. He's going to have surgery on his back.
Did they officially rule him out for the season?
I read that he was out for the year, but you know, I don't know. I don't know that that came from the team. I read that. I think Woj put that out that he was going to be out for the year.
It just can't be good. When you're dealing with a back injury, anybody who's ever hurt their back knows that it just can be completely debilitating. You can be walking around totally fine 1 minute, and then that thing
Look at Tiger.
It's something that is really, 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 I think, difficult to deal with. And I think it's also difficult to predict. And the fact that he's had multiple surgeries on his back doesn't bode well. And if you're Denver, you had to, in the offseason, the decision to give him a max contract, I think you probably had to do it. But man, you wonder what those conversations were like behind closed doors, how much worry there was before they offered him that deal. And hindsight's obviously 20/20, but that could end up being really, really bad and be an albatross around their neck while you're trying to build a championship team during the window when Jokic is going to be at his absolute peak. And it's a shame because you think back to the trading deadline last season when they bring in Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray's still healthy. I think they won, what, 7 or 8 in a row maybe after they got Aaron Gordon. It looked like they were headed for certainly a great opportunity to be able to win a title last year, especially the way injuries broke for the other teams. And now you're looking at one guy that's a key part of that team, torn ACL, going to be back hopefully by the end of this season, but who knows where he's at. And Michael Porter Jr. Now,
PJ Dozier also tore his ACL. So,
and he's been he was a big part of what they were doing this year. I mean, obviously not as big as Murray or Michael Porter Jr., but Michael Porter Jr. might never play again.
Yep.
And you're paying him max money. That's a tough spot for Denver to be in. And that being said, Jokic has just continued to be phenomenal. I mean, they go into Miami after the Markieff Morris Jokic battle, and they just take it to the Heat. And I think that game was last night, maybe, or was it Sunday night? I can't remember. But regardless, Jokic went in and had a big game in Denver, kind of put the smack down on Miami. So Jokic is still
that was last night. That wasn't Sunday night. You're trying to forget about the game that happened on Sunday.
I am.
Mike.
We'll talk about that at the end of the podcast tonight. But Denver, Jokic is just, he continues to be, I mean, he's one of the best four players in the league. He just is, production-wise, and what he's able to do out on the floor, he remains one of the most fun players to watch in the entire league, and Denver's going to hang around just because he's so good.
Especially when his brothers go and then they go out clubbing after the
game. That's right, I did see that. I saw some video hits.
Does that violate protocols right now? I don't quite know if that, what's going on there. But anyways, okay, so we're moving to Houston now, Mike. John Wall situation, do we want to talk about that at all?
Let's touch on it. What's your
John
thoughts
Wall
there?
John Wall said that he's working into game shape, but he doesn't want to – he's not going to start, but John Wall wants to start, which I think John Wall is realizing, like, if I don't play, like, I might not play in the league again. Like, and I'm sitting out for you guys, and was sitting out, and there was arguments over their role and stuff. So I don't know what's exactly going to happen here. It's not like Houston's going anywhere. Maybe he's trying to, and he got that huge contract. No one's going to take that contract, I don't think, right?
I wouldn't think so. You could never say never. Westbrook's been traded a couple times. Wall got traded with the contract that he currently has. Seems unlikely. Seems more likely that, I don't know. I just, It's still strange to me that he's not playing. I don't know why, if you're the player, why you wouldn't want to play. And the team, I guess you're just trying to develop your young guys and you're trying to lose. But at some point, like we've said with the Cavs, you don't want to have a bunch of young guys that you're just going through the motions and you're learning how to lose. And it seems like John Wall, if he's healthy, could be a guy that could at least organize a competent NBA offense and maybe get guys the ball in places where they'd want to get it. And who knows what's going on behind the scenes, but it still seems strange that he's not getting any minutes and that he's not going to play. I just, as a player, it seems like you'd want to get out on the floor. I know everybody can say, oh, he's just must be great to sit around and make $44 million. And I'm sure it is, but you can't tell me that you wouldn't rather be playing basketball. It just doesn't make any sense. You saw the Kevin Porter Jr. triple-double video, right?
It got taken away.
Did it?
It got taken away today. They gave it to with the guy
Sengun?
With the ass. Yeah, Sengun.
Sengun. I thought that was hilarious how they were all kind of boxing out, running it for him to come back and get that rebound.
It was almost
hilarious.
Shades of Ricky Davis, almost.
It was. It was close. It was funny, though. It was funny.
Yeah.
I guess you could say they're together. At least they're looking out for their teammate.
They're losing together. All right.
Yes, exactly.
Next.
Although they've won four games. The last time, I think they won two in a row, didn't they, at some point?
Oh.
So they've won three in a row now, the Rockets. They're on a three-game winning streak, the Rockets. So they were definitely on pace. If you'd have told me a week ago that they were going to win four games before Christmas, I would have probably told you were crazy. So kudos to the Houston Rockets for putting together a string of wins, because they were definitely on pace to rival the worst teams in the history of the NBA a week ago.
All right. Pacers, Justin Holiday out due to health and safety protocols. That one's not really much to talk about. Batum still out, health and safety protocols. Oh, who's this guy? LeBron James. Entered COVID-19 protocols Tuesday. Now, he's gone on the record saying that he's got the vaccination, so he must have got breakthrough case.
Case for LeBron.
Which has been happening. I mean...
Yes.
I believe Love also had a breakthrough case, because I believe that he was vaccinated too. So, I mean, and Embiid was I know Embiid was vaccinated. He had it really bad. So, you know, Embiid coming back... You saw the video of him talking after the game on Saturday, right?
Yes.
Basically saying, I didn't know if I was going to make it at one point. I'm like, geez, Louise.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good at all. So
you don't want to hear that.
Yeah, so LeBron's out for the next 10 days unless he tests negative and twice in a 24-hour period, which that tells me that means that he definitely tested positive because that's... You know, he's had a little bit of a different, you know, that goes back to the same thing that happened with Love in them, you know. So that means he's going to be out two more weeks. Like, he's missed so much time already. Like, he's missed a lot of time.
Which ultimately, is that good or bad?
I mean, it might be good for their playoffs chances, I guess.
I think it's a fine line. And here's what I mean by that. It's probably good that he's missing games and he's not running himself into the ground. But this Lakers team without LeBron, they're garbage. I mean, they're terrible.
Well, they were getting smoked tonight and then they went on a 40-13 run. I don't even know who they're playing. They're playing someone bad. Sacramento, maybe?
Sacramento.
Yes.
I just don't think this team's not good enough where you can say, okay, LeBron's going to miss a third of the regular season, whether it's through injury, whether it's through COVID, whether it's through sitting out. And this team's going to finish in the play-in. And it doesn't matter that they're going to have to be on the road for three straight series. It doesn't matter that they're going to have to win the play-in games in order to get into the playoffs. That, oh, they're going to be ready to just roll through the league as soon as everybody's healthy. If that happens, there really aren't any signs of it to this point that that's what's going to happen. And yeah, maybe LeBron has an extra gear, but his extra gear I don't think is quite as fast or as dominant as it was last year or the year before or the year before that.
And Anthony Davis, we talked about it last week. I think he's clearly your beta. He's not your alpha. And Russell Westbrook, nobody really has any idea what to do with this guy. And he continues to put up statistics, but he continues to be a guy that you look at and I'm not sure I want him on my team if I'm really trying to win anything important. It's weird to say that because he puts up stats, but I just don't think this Lakers team is equipped to finish 500 and get the 9 seed and say, all right, now we're going to put it all together and Anthony Davis is going to play the 5 and we're going to play a crunch time lineup, a small ball, and LeBron's just going to take over and we're going to run roughshod through the Western Conference because we've kind of just been sandbagging it the whole season. I don't think this team is good enough, and I don't think LeBron is capable of putting a flawed roster on his back the same way he was in his last year with the Cavs. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I still regret my pick for the Western Conference. That's all I'm going to say on that garbage. All right, so Memphis, Ja Morant will return this season, but no timetable for his return because of his knee. And that was scary. You know, when he fell, you saw that. You saw the video, right? Yeah. That was scary.
Morant does as a skinny guy and
very
as high
Derek Rosey, right? Derek Rosey?
Well, yeah, as high as he jumps and as athletic as he is, he always looks like a guy who you'd worry about that he could get injured just based on his body size and the way he kind of goes at the basket with such reckless abandon. So obviously if he's not there, you have to say Memphis drops from right now. They're currently 5th, although they're really basically one game out of being in the 11th spot. So I think without Ja Morant, we know that Memphis is going to drop in the standings, and hopefully he'll be back soon and he'll be healthy because he's one of those guys that is so dynamic and he continues to get better and better. And he's somebody who eventually, if Memphis can start winning with his exciting style of play, he's a guy that can be one of the faces of the NBA as we go forward. So we want to have him come back as soon as possible. Obviously want him healthy with Morant. I think Memphis, I don't know that they're a top 6 team in the West, but I think they're safely in the play-in. Without them, I think they're in danger of going back down and fighting in that last 9 and 10 spot with whoever you want to say is going to be down there. I know we've said Minnesota is going to be down there. Minnesota is starting to figure it out, maybe, and at least put something together.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll have to see. All right, Miami. Oh man, I didn't realize how long the Miami list was here, Mike. This is brutal. Dwayne Dedmon, questionable tomorrow night. Bruised right knee. Bam. Questionable. Sprained right thumb. Tyler Hero is probable for game tomorrow. Butler is questionable for the game tomorrow with back spasms. Markieff Morris is out. And obviously Oladipo's still hurt. I mean,
out with Jokic?
Yeah. His neck. Morris is out with his neck from when he got... He's still out with the shove, right?
I think he already had a neck injury prior to that, didn't he? I think.
Yeah.
So, I feel like he did.
Listen,
so.
I mean, the cat, we might have to retroactively go back. If Butler and Bam don't play tomorrow night, Mike, I mean, they might look
that
at
opens
that,
up.
That opens up the possibility of the Cavs winning tomorrow, I think.
Agreed. None of those injuries, though, are season ending or out for a month. They could be little nagging things that may keep guys out here and there, but definitely not a situation where Miami's missing any of their key guys for 6 weeks at this point.
Yeah. All right. Milwaukee, Brook Lopez is out due to a sore back for an indefinite period
Boogie.
Of time.
Boogie.
There you go. Yeah. They get.
You excited?
Excited
to bring the Boogie experience.
I mean, how long? The question is, how long until he gets injured?
It sets up one of the most fun, dynamic duos in the league now.
Boogie and Giannis?
No, Boogie and Bobby Portis.
Oh, God.
Two crazy guys out on the floor at one time. That sounds like a lot of fun. You put those two guys out there.
And then you got Budenholzer as a coach.
That's right. I like it.
All right.
Hopefully, Brook Lopez is a key part of what Milwaukee does. And if he's out,
Obviously, they've won 7 in a row without him, but if he's out, that definitely hurts their chances of repeating if he can't get back and be effective at some point. I don't think you're going to roll out Boogie Cousins in the NBA Finals and have that go very well.
Yeah, I agree. Minnesota has nothing significant. The Pelicans, Zion out Thanksgiving. that was a good tweet.
That was.
Nothing significant. Thunder, we don't really care about them. Orlando, they're not good, but Suggs being out, he's not undergoing surgery. That's so good news.
I forget where I read it. I don't know if it was a tweet or I read it on ESPN. Somebody said the article or the tweet, I can't remember what it was. I think it was an article. It said something in effect of Jalen Suggs is going to be out with the sprain or, you know, broken thumb or whatever it is that he has. And it said he's been one of the few bright spots for Orlando. And I was like, he has? And I know he's averaging like 12 points a game and 3 rebounds, 3 assists. So he hasn't been terrible. But I think to call him a bright spot might be a little bit of an exaggeration when you consider what people kind of thought he was going to be coming out. I don't know that he's been a complete disappointment. He's certainly not a bust, but people talked about him like he was going to be a culture changer, and it doesn't seem like, at least at this point, that that's going to be the case in Orlando. They're clearly one of the worst teams in the league.
Yep, I agree. Philly, no news on the Ben Simmons front. We don't need to spend any time on that. We've talked that to death. Phoenix, Devin Booker, we've already talked about that. Nothing big in Portland land. Nothing big in Sacramento. Harrison Barnes didn't play tonight with a foot injury. San Antonio, nothing to report there. Toronto, OG, and Nobi was supposed to come back, but he's not back yet. Dragic is out indefinitely due to personal reasons. I don't know if those personal reasons mean get me out of Canada. I don't know what those personal reasons are. I guess I shouldn't joke about it. It could be something serious, so I apologize for that. And then Utah and Washington don't have anything huge to report. So
Dragic seems like a guy who would be good going to a contender. That seems like there's going to be a contending team at some point, especially if Toronto stays on the outside of the playoffs.
I know a team that could possibly use another guard, Mike.
Who's that?
The Cavs.
They could.
I've been reading a lot of Buddy Hield rumors to the Cavs.
Buddy Hield to the Cavs? Or are we giving up to get Buddy Hield?
I don't know.
What would you be willing to give up?
I don't know how you could package anything, but I read
Chetty
that.
Chetty and Dylan Windler for Buddy Hield?
I don't think they're going to go for that. I don't think Sacramento's going to go for that. Maybe a second round pick.
Yeah, I don't know. Sacramento, by the way, completely just fell apart in the second half.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
So they're down 24, and they were up. I think they were up
17.
They were up nine at halftime, right? I think.
They were up 17 at one point. But
okay.
Golden State, by the way, they choked this game away. They haven't scored in the last 3.5 minutes of the game. They've had 24 turnovers tonight. 6 in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry's been pitiful.
4 of 21 for Steph tonight.
He's showing he's human. Draymond Green had 3 straight possessions. He missed a layup. It was kind of enjoyable.
As much as we've said our Warriors distaste has gone away, I think it just came back out.
No, Draymond.
I'm not criticizing.
Draymond's the guy who I would love him if he was on my team, but I hate him when he's not on my team.
Correct. I agree.
And any Cavs fan that says they would not want Draymond Green on their team is crazy. Sorry, maybe not this version of Draymond, but like peak Draymond. Anyone that says they wouldn't want a guy like him on their team, realize that Dellavedova was just a lesser version of him, in my opinion.
You may want a guy like him. You may not want him, I guess is what people would say. But I understand completely what you're saying. Draymond Green is a winning player. Let's put it that way.
Yep. So what's really fun is, you know, these two teams play again on Friday, right?
Warriors Suns?
Yeah. In Golden State. So we're going to get a rematch of this game right away. Hopefully Booker's healthy. I mean, the Suns pulled this out without Booker. That's huge. That's
a big game from Ayton, 24 and 11 tonight.
Yeah, and Chris Paul had huge fourth quarter plays. He played really well in the fourth quarter. I don't think, what did he end with, 17 or 18? He didn't have a ton of points.
He's got 15 and 11 right now.
15, 11. Well, so the game's over. So
yes, it's over. You're right.
So he who had three of those little, like, across the lane jumpers that he's good at, listen, really good game. But
what do the Suns do with Ayton?
Well, they signed him.
Why didn't they sign him? Why didn't they offer him a max? What do you think?
They're dumb.
They're just cheap? Cheap, stupid? Is he in Phoenix long term?
I mean, I don't see how he's not. I mean, what are they going to do? If he leaves, it's not like they can just replace him because they've got Chris Paul locked up for two more years and they've got Devin Booker. They don't have any money. Right?
Yeah, I mean, he has one more year on his rookie deal because if he would have signed the extension this year, that would have got tacked on, I think, to his contract next year. But now you're in that situation where, did you make the guy mad? Does he want to come back? Is he going to – it's just interesting that they didn't sign him. I would love to have been a fly on the wall to listen to those conversations to see what it was about DeAndre Ayton that made them not want to sign him to a max contract. Now, look, what is a max player? What does that mean? Is DeAndre Ayton ever going to be the best player on a championship team?
No.
No, I don't think so either. So by definition, you're splitting hairs when you start talking about, is he a max player? Well, he's not a max player in a sense of he's never going to be one of the 10 best players in the league. But is he a guy who's really, really important to what you're trying to do? And is he an asset that you want to end up losing for nothing, or you want to end up trading away for probably pennies on the dollar? And it just seems short-sighted to not sign the guy to the extension. You look at the history of guys who didn't get the full max extension. You think about Kevin Love in Minnesota, and they only gave him 3 years when they could have given him four. And then he leaves. You know, they have to trade him. Same thing with Gordon Hayward in Utah. And these teams that end up lowballing guys who are important parts of their team. Now, to Ayton's credit, it doesn't seem like it's affected his play on the floor. But in the back of your mind, you got to be thinking, hey, this team didn't believe in me and my talent. And maybe when he does get an opportunity to leave and go somewhere else, a lot of times those guys that didn't get what they thought they deserved end up taking their talents to somewhere else. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see how that Ayton situation plays out as we go forward over the next year or two.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I don't know what they end up doing with Ayton, but I can't see them letting him go. I just don't understand.
There's no logical reason why it would happen other than financial.
Exactly. I mean, that's got to be it, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, there's no basketball reason why you wouldn't want DeAndre Ayton on your team. I mean, is he a perfect player? No. But is he a player that proved, especially last year in the playoffs, that he's pretty darn good and he can help your team win? Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Anything else you want to talk about, Mike, before we talk Browns? I mean,
I think we hit
all the teams. I know we were going to talk about the East being better than the West, but I think we did that while we were talking. I feel like the East is definitely better than the West. It's definitely more competitive than the West. With that being said, we just had the two best teams play against each other, but I think from top to bottom, the East is definitely better.
There's more good teams in the East than there is in the West. Like, I think if you look in the Eastern Conference, like I said earlier, I think there's only really two games that you can look at on your schedule if your team and say, oh, that team, we should win. We don't have to be at our best to win, and that's Detroit and Orlando. Every other team, I think, in the Eastern Conference, you can clearly say is going to be a competitive team. On the other hand, in the Western Conference, there's five, maybe even six teams that you could look at and say, if we play well, we should be able to beat that team, no questions asked. And then, even though I know Golden State and Phoenix have the two best records, I think if you give me Brooklyn and Milwaukee and you want to take a bet and give somebody Phoenix and
Golden State. I'll take my chances with Brooklyn and Milwaukee against Phoenix and Golden State going forward. Now, record-wise, those two teams in the West may end up with better records, but when push comes to shove, I think if I had to pick between the Eastern Conference's two best teams and the Western Conference's two best teams, I think I'd take Milwaukee and Brooklyn.
Fair enough to me, Mike. That sounds right to me. The thing is this, though. And Brooklyn just has so many unknowns, and they're going to have a bunch of unknowns the rest of the year. I mean, right? I mean, that's just the way things are going to be with them.
Right, and Durant is what makes it known. I mean, all these other things that are around the periphery, you can have guys hurt, you can have this, you can have that, you can have the Kyrie vaccination situation, but if Durant is healthy and doing what Durant does, he makes them a legitimate finals contender all by himself. As long as you have four ambulatory guys around him, it really doesn't matter. I mean, clearly you put a better supporting cast around him, makes him better, but I think he just is a guy, because he's such a singular talent, I think he just lifts your ceiling, lifts your floor up to the point where I feel confident that Durant's going to get Brooklyn at least to the Eastern Conference Finals, depending on how the matchup with Milwaukee ends up falling.
Yeah, it really comes down to it. And Milwaukee did put itself in a weird position with not starting the year so strong.
If you look at the standings,
the
fact of the matter remains is that, they dug themselves a little bit of a hole, but they've kind of dug their way out of it now, winning seven in a row. So they're a half game out of being number two. So I don't think you really have to worry too much that they're going to finish in the eighth spot and have to play Brooklyn in the first round. That's not going to happen, barring more injuries that knock them down. I think they're probably going to creep up there. I mean, really, they're two games behind Brooklyn for the first seed. So I think eventually it's going to work itself out and those two teams are going to end up at the top of the conference, 1-2, depending on how things break.
Okay. Let's just do this now. Get it over with.
All right.
The Browns are terrible. I can't even say anything anymore. They should have won that game going away. They should have won that
game. Because the other team's quarterback throws four interceptions. You want to win the game?
They should have won that game going away. It's unacceptable for them to lose. The fact that the coach, and I love Kevin Stefanski, I want to be clear here. The fact that the coach said he didn't even think about benching Baker Mayfield at any point. And I know he's probably just trying to stick up for his quarterback, but give me a break. How can you say that? How can you say that with a straight face and say and be honest? And kiss your mother with that mouth, Kevin Stefanski, for saying that you did not think about benching Baker Mayfield. He was pitiful. I'm pretty sure you could have gone out there, Mike, and thrown the ball to the level as he did in the fourth quarter. Now, I will say, Baker was not the problem in the first half. Baker was not the problem in the first half. I don't exactly know what the play calling was. I don't know what the plan was. Yes, Baltimore is good at stopping the run. Okay, but did you see what happened at the start of the second half? We started to run the ball with Kareem Hunt, and magically, they didn't know what we were doing. And we were getting first downs. And then they stopped running the ball again. I don't know if you know what possession I'm specifically talking about, but Kareem Hunt ran a great run, got 15 yards on it. Next play, got a 30-yard pass, and then we threw the ball three straight times. I'm not a coach in the NFL. I know that. But I know how to play Madden. You got to mix up the play calls. You can't just keep doing the same stuff over and over, especially with a guy who's not 100%. Okay, I'm done. You go take away, Mike. And by the way, one more thing. The defense played their butts off. And anyone that thinks that's not the case, I mean, they four interceptions. They did a great job. They pushed the line around. They didn't really do a lot. And anyone that puts that loss on the defense should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. The end.
I would have liked to seen them stop the Ravens a little bit on the last drive.
But yes, the defense, I think, played well, pressured Lamar. I told you before the game, the Browns, it always feels like we never have any luck against running quarterbacks. Going back historically, those guys always kill us, and Lamar Jackson is no exception, despite the fact that we intercepted him four times. The Baker Mayfield situation, he's been bad, and it seems like any pass that he has to throw downfield is an adventure. Every once in a while, he's able to put it in the right place, but more often than not, the ball is sailing. It's just not where it needs to be. That being said, I'm not sure that his receiving core, A, is good, and B, I know for a fact that they didn't really help him out very much. So we've had a lot of big drops over the course of this season that it feels like if guys just catch the ball, that you might have been able to flip what happened on one or two victories. I think next year you've got to figure out a way to get a number one wide receiver in here, a guy who just is going to get open and is a deep threat.
And he's going to catch the ball?
And somebody that's going to catch the ball. I think that's, to me, that's the weakest part of this team right now is the receiving core. I just don't see who is the go-to guy. Landry has not been as good this year as he was in years past. And you look at this offense, and when you can't throw the ball downfield, whether it's because Mayfield is injured, whether it's because receivers can't get open, whether it's when they are open, they can't catch the ball or the ball is overthrown, it's a problem. And really, you have one more game against the Ravens in 2 weeks. And if you win that, your season's still alive. If you lose that game, I think at that point you just pack it in, and they're not gonna make the playoffs if they don't win that Ravens game. If they win the Ravens game, then they still got a chance. The team certainly has not lived up to what their talent says they should. And even if they make the playoffs, I can't see them going very far with the quarterbacking that they have currently. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm down on the fact that it's a season that has been disappointing compared to what people thought it was going to be. So that's it.
I'm impressed. I thought you held back more than I thought you were going to, Mike. So I commend you.
I think the receivers, look, Mayfield is not good right now, and he may not be good at all, but his receiving core has been terrible and hasn't helped him out at all. So we'll see what happens in 2 weeks against the Ravens.
Browns, I played a football game last Friday, and I had 3 touchdowns in it. So if you're looking for a wide receiver that can attempt to catch the ball, at least I'll attempt to catch it. If you're interested.
There you go. There you go.
Hit me up at Hoopheads Pod.
if you need a big, tall, lanky receiver, Jason's your guy.
I might not be all right. Super fast, but
it's all right, man. Hey, if you got hands, that's what the Browns need. All right. On that note, let's wrap it up there. Thanks to everyone for checking us out tonight. Make sure you go back and check out this week's episodes. On Monday, we dropped an episode with James Leith, the founder of Unleash the Athlete, talking about ways that you can help to build and develop resiliency in your athletes, along with a lot of great team building activities that you can use. And coming up on Friday, we have an interview coming out with John Vanderwall, the head coach at Marietta College here in the state of Ohio. A lot of good stuff in that interview as well. So make sure you check those out. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HoopheadsPod, and get yourself subscribed on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for listening tonight, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.